hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend, and you guys also enjoyed the Hagman Show on Friday with Dad on there. Had a lot of wild stuff they were covering. And, of course, we got some more interesting articles for you guys today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful, and we're gonna get to the London bombing, or the London slashing, I should say now. We're also gonna get to what happened with Megyn Kelly with the Trump interview and a bunch of other articles that are in the news. But I got an article that came across my desk that I thought was intriguing, and I read it and actually highlighted it. And those of you who are on my personal email list, you already have a copy of this. And the name of the article, and I don't recommend the article for everybody because you have to have some pretty good Christian blinders on to read it, because it goes into yoga and a bunch of other weird stuff that I don't agree with at all. But it was talking about the therapeutic benefits of prayer, affirmations, and attitude. And I like what she said at the beginning of the article. She goes, this isn't just some hippy-dippy, crunchy, granola, new age construct. and what they're doing is they're talking about how the mind can heal the body through prayer and how everything works together. What they don't talk about is the quantum entanglement part of this, and how we create the physical reality of the life that we live in by the words that we speak and by the thoughts that we have. Now, I'm going to cover that. I'm going to read part of what she says here, and then I'm going to translate it for you, because it gets real analytical with a lot of fancy scientific terms, which they're okay for me. I kind of enjoy reading stuff like that, but most people, unless you've had a science background, are going to wonder what the heck she just said. So I'm going to make sure this is really easy to understand. And what it goes back to is this. Zig Ziglar years ago told me, he says, Ted, a lot of people need a checkup from the neck up. And what he meant from that was this. A lot of people, their attitude is so negative and their mindset is so negative that they create this incredibly negative life around them because that's what they want to have happen, because that's their comfort zone. That's where they like to be. You ask them a question and you get a 30-minute organ recital on how bad their life sucks and how horrible their life is and how they want something else in their life. And all they do is speak this super, super negative stuff. When people say to me, I ask them, how was your weekend? And they go, not too bad. My response is always this, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And they look at me kind of funny. What do you mean by that? And I said, you said your weekend was bad. Well, I didn't mean that. And I said, then why did you say it? Why did you say it if you didn't mean it? I mean, why are you saying your life was bad? Why are you saying your weekend wasn't too bad? Bad's a relative form of badly, which means it's gone poorly, which means it's absolutely horrible. So why are you saying it? Why don't you say, I'm blessed to the Lord, I had a wonderful weekend. And guys, I don't care how your weekend went. Just answer it. I'm blessed of the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. Use scriptural affirmations to create what you want to have happen in your life. Several years ago, I was a guest lecturer, professor at Southeastern University. And the name of my lecture that I did was How to Change the Fabric of Space-Time. And I talked to the kids about what they think about, they bring about, what they speak about, they bring about, and how they basically become encased in the world they create by the words of their mouth and by their thoughts. Guys, thoughts are very powerful things. They create scalar waves. The scalar waves change the very fabric of time-space, which means that we literally create our own reality in this quote-unquote holographic universe that we live in, according to physicists and quantum physicists, by changing the words that we speak. We create our own reality. If you want a really, really negative life, keep speaking really, really negative things. You'll get a negative life. You don't have to worry about it because it's a universal law. It's just what's going to happen to you. We all know people who it's like almost like there's a black cloud hanging over them and they've always got their umbrella out and they're always getting dumped on by the planet. And it's because that's what they've created. They created their own reality to be so absolutely horrible that they don't know what to do with it. And as soon as you get around them, they want to complain to you about how bad their life is. Guys, that's not what we're called to do. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Now, here's some of the mindset of this as far as from a physiological standpoint. I love the way they did the physiological stuff on this. Mindset is instrumental to our healing, since our thoughts influence our tendency towards inflammation, our propensity to develop pathology or disease, and the density of our brain matter, and the adaptive activation of neuroendocrine immune systems. A meta-analysis over 300 articles show that the psychological reactions to acute stressors serve adaptogenic functions, where chronic stress perturbs or damages the finely orchestrated balance in the immune system and down-regulates both cellular and hormonal activity. Specifically, listen to this now, guys. Perceived stress increases the hypercoagulability of the blood. It does that because it thinks you're about to get in a fight and you're about to get cut. It thinks that you're about to get into a sword fight or saber-tooth tiger fight or whatever you're going to get into, and you're fixing to get ripped open. So the stress makes your blood thicker and more coagulable. So if you do get cut, you don't basically bleed out. It also causes an adhesion molecule expression, making blood more sticky, creating more pro-atherogenic, pro-inflammatory environment conducive to development of cardiovascular disease, immune imbalance, and a depressive mental state. In contrast, these pathophysiological changes are reversed when you get rid of stress and you start doing positive affirmations and prayers. Now, this is an amazing article for that, but it throws a bunch of other weird stuff in there I'm not going to get into. Furthermore, psychological stress can perpetuate inflammation by mobilizing immature macrophages from bone marrow to initiate a inflammatory response by promoting cellular messages known as cytokines. It's called the cytokine storm, by the way. We've talked about that many times. Psychological stress is a major contributor of chronic inflammatory conditions and can acutely provoke and stresses inflammation in healthy individuals. In other words, if your body is depressed and your body is upset and your body has a lot of cortisol and your body's under stress, your body becomes sick, is what it just said. Depression is a disorder of inflammation, not of neurotransmitter deficiency. Because stress precipitates an inflammatory modular cascade, stress management strategies should be employed as part of the comprehensive root cause resolution, lifestyle medicine approach, which basically now we're talking supplements, and practices such as prayer, which may be the ultimate method of stress reduction, have proven benefits for mood improvement, relief from chronic pain, and coping with chronic stress. A few weeks ago, I don't talk about my foot much, and I don't really like to talk about it at all because I broke it about 8 weeks ago. But I broke it two more times after I broke it the first time, just basically walking around in a soft boot, or actually a hard boot. And finally, a few weeks ago, when it broke for the third time and it was all bruised and bloody again, I just took authority over it in prayer. And I said, look, foot, now you're thinking I'm crazy because I'm talking to my foot. Well, guess what? My foot is part of me. It's part of my sympathetic, it's part of my nervous system. It's part of my cardiovascular system. And I just started saying, look, foot, this is not working for me. You know, you're going to have to heal yourself. I mean, I'm giving you the nutrients that you need. We're not going to be one of the 60 or 70% of the people who never recover from a foot break. I said, that's not going to be me. This foot's going to, you're going to get better, and you're going to get better immediately. Now, what I did, I started praying as if it was already healed. Thank you, Father, that my foot's completely and totally healed. And then I looked at my foot, and I saw the boot off. I saw it completely perfect again. And you think, well, why were you doing that? Those are called visualization techniques. Now, before you get all wrapped up and say, he's screaming New Age stuff. No, don't, let me finish. Zig Ziglar talked about this years and years ago about acute visualization. And he actually talked about a man who had been locked up in a prison in Vietnam, Austin, who basically, you know, during the Vietnam War, who was an avid golfer. And what he would do is every day in his mind, he would go play a golf game. And every day in his mind, he would get better and better and better. He was in prison for years and years and years, never touched a golf club. And he actually trained himself to believe that he was on the golf course instead of in prison playing golf. And when he finally was rescued by the Americans and he got out of prison, he went and played golf, and his swing was better than it was when it had gone in. Fact. Now, the same thing happens with Olympic athletes and with basketball players. They want them to visualize every time they take the shot, the ball going whoosh through the net, whoosh through the net, whoosh through the net. They want them to see the fact that they're the best basketball player on the court, and they want them to see that mentally. Because remember, what you perceive and what you think about, you physically create. It's just the law of biochemistry, the law of physics, and the law of scalar physics is what it is. And so what we have to realize is this. When we see things from a negative standpoint, it gets negative. When we see things from a positive standpoint, it gets positive. I know when I used to do the seminars with President Bush and Ziegler and all those guys, I'm talking with the best speakers in the world on these platforms. I mean, Austin was there, 20, 30, 40,000 people attended, sometimes stadiums full of people. And I would always affirm myself before I got up on the platform. I'd always say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm committing my plans unto the Lord. They will succeed. I am the best speaker here today. I am going to entertain this crowd. I am going to have fun. I am going to get an incredible review rating from all of the people that are here because they reviewed the speakers. And I would speak these things to myself. And I would get off by myself. Austin remembers this. And I would start praying. And I would walk around behind the platform like 10 minutes before I was supposed to be up on the platform. And I would get my mind set. And I would tell Austin and I would tell Sharon, I'd tell everybody, Nobody speaks to me 10 minutes before I go on the platform. I can't be distracted. I've got to stay completely and totally in the zone, focused, kind of like professional athletes have to do, or professional anything has to do. They have to be zoned in. And what I would do is I'd go up on the platform, and by the grace of God, and I will say this, by the grace of God and God alone, every time they did a survey on the speakers, I was always better than everybody else except for Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan beat me in the surveys. And I'll be honest with you guys, I'm humbled by that. Now you say, well, are you bragging? No, I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging at all. I'm saying it's by the grace of God. I'm not saying anything else about this. What I'm saying is this. You have to be in the proper mindset for life also. Running around being negative and being all yak yak all the time and complaining about everything when something doesn't go your way, all it does is sets up the stressors. It makes your blood thick. It makes your blood want to coagulate. It increases the risk of heart disease, diabetes, cancer. It decreases oxygen flow to the extremities. It does all of this stuff because of what it does to the periphery, because the blood gets so thick it can't feed through the arterioles properly. And the reason it's doing that is it doesn't want you to bleed out if you get cut. So you've got to learn that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you have to pray this way in your prayers. Father, thank you that you always put me at the right place in the right time. Father, thank you that I'm the head, not the tail. Father, I want to thank you that you always allow me to bring honor and glory to you in all that I do, think, and say. Father, always let me be a good example for everyone around me, and let me just be appreciative of everyone that I'm around. Let people know that I love them and that I'll do anything for them. These are the prayers you've got to pray. Now, when you start praying this way and you start speaking this way, you literally change your physiology, but you do more than that. You change the physical fabric of time-space, and you become that person you speak about. Just like if all you want to do is watch bad stuff on the internet, you become that person. If all you want to do is be negative all the time, you become that person. If all you want to do is cuss and swear and go to bars and get drunk, you become that person. That's why the Bible is so clear when it says that bad company corrupts good character. We all need to be working and becoming better people, better Christians, better husbands, better wives, better children, better teachers, better doctors, better lawyers, better police officers, all of us. We need to always strive to be the best that we possibly can so we can physically change the fabric of space-time. Because, guys, what you think about, you literally change. Because remember, we've got like 13 dimensions in the universe. And you guys always like it when I talk about this stuff. And some people say more, some people say less. And when God is in the top dimension, let's say he's in number 13. And what happens is when we become a Christian, we're in the bottom three, by the way, in the depth, the width, and the height of time-space. We're in the very bottom. Then the fourth is basically the time. Number five is the quantum wormholes. The six is the Higgs fields. And then seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th are what Paul called the second heaven. All these are multi-dimensions that are around us, kind of like on a radio dial. They're all around us all of the time, but we happen to only perceive the bottom three, and we live in the bottom three. So what's interesting about this is God, when we become a Christian, he connects us to his dimension through the Holy Spirit, so we become joint heirs with Christ, is what the Word says. And what happens when we do this, Lucifer then, who was cast down from the 13th dimension, is under our feet, and we have authority over him. He has no dominion over us. That's why they hate Christians, because we have authority over them. So the problem is, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are also basically in covenant with God Almighty through Christ, through the blood of Jesus that continually restores us. We know that. I've talked to you guys many times about that. So what ends up happening is this. We're the kids, the king's kids. I mean, that's who we are. I mean, we're in covenant with Yahweh through Christ. I mean, I like that deal. I mean, he really, I gotta be careful here. He set up something so incredible for us that Christians don't understand who and what we are. The covenant that we have is with the creator of the universe, and he wants us to be blessed. He doesn't care if you have a nice house or a nice car. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. He doesn't want you to be going after Moloch and Baal and killing kids and drinking blood and all this weird sick stuff that these people do. But remember, Lucifer controls these bottom dimensions for all these other people that are in covenant with God. So when he gives them the stuff they want when they do what he wants them to do also. That's why you see so many of these people that are in like Katy Perry, a perfect example. She says right on one of the YouTube videos that she sold her soul to the devil. Says it, openly admits it. And when they do that, it allows these demon spirits that are also on our planet to bring things into reality for those folks too. the big house, the $18 million home, all the things they want they get in many cases until they've been used up like Whitney Houston. And all of a sudden it comes time for the sacrifice to go to where you're going to go. See, that's the thing they don't understand. There's all these strings attached with Lucifer. And we have strings attached with God too. God says, if you love me, you'll obey me and you'll do what I command. Okay, we got that. By the way, he's an if then God. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll be quick to forgive you and you'll be in covenant with me. Okay, we got that. Also, he doesn't want us to continue walking in repetitive sin after we become saved. Not that it's going to send us to hell, but because it doesn't please him. He doesn't want us to be that guy that goes out and gets drunk and claims to be a Christian. That's not who we're supposed to be. He doesn't want us to go out and go dancing and lusting after other girls or other men because we're Christians. He doesn't want us doing any of that. He wants us to walk the walk and be accountable for all the things that we do. Because remember, by your words you shall be acquitted, by your words you shall be condemned. Now you're saying, well, does that mean we're not going to get to heaven? Well, I didn't say that. Only the Holy Spirit knows when somebody commits a cardinal sin and basically blasphemes the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into that. I was saved in a church. They wanted to believe that everybody was going to hell but them. I'm not living like that. It's all up to God. I'm going to pray like it's all up to me, but I know it's all up to God. In fact, that's what that one plaque says that my mom has. Zwei Lebensstützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two fundamental principles in life that can never be broken. Work and prayer. Period. In fact, prayer is first on that list. Gebet und Arbeit. Prayer and work. We have to understand that we change physical reality by the words that we speak. Now, let me go ahead and go back to this article real quick now that I've given you some up things as far as this. Because stress precipitates an inflammatory molecular cascade, stress management strategy should be employed as part of a comprehensive root-causing resolution lifestyle medicine approach to depression. Practices such as prayer, which may be the ultimate method of stress control, have proven benefits for mood improvement, relief of chronic pain, and coping with chronic stress. Now, what they don't talk about is the quantum physics entanglement that I just talked about. Prayers are scalar waves. They create fabric of reality. They change time-space. So they're not mentioning all of this. It also goes on to say that the research illustrates that prayer can buffer the effects of stress reactivity and mitigate the neuroinflammation that underscores depression, thus imparting therapeutic benefit in both mood disorders and other chronic inflammatory conditions. In other words, it's saying, hey, if you pray about it, you're going to fix it. Now, you have to combine that with the nutrition and getting off like GMO foods. We've mentioned that. What's more, protective physiological factors associated with well-being and resilience were reported by experienced people who were praying. Similarly, another review found that prayer can actually enhance cognitive and psychological and physiological health via neuroplastic effects on brain structures and circuits that influence attention, memory, and emotional regulation. I'm going to step back this into the quantum physics role. Our brain and our DNA is a Tesla transformer coil, which is basically connecting us into another dimension. When we talk and we pray and we do the right things according to God's word, it allows us, from a neuroplasticity standpoint, to make our brains work better at connecting with Yahweh. That's what this says, by the way, in these weird terms, okay? For example, by exerting greater self-control, individuals may better regulate their thoughts and emotions, thus possibly resulting in adaptive responses to stress. We, as Christians, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're walking by faith and not by sight, and we're being led by the Holy Spirit because His energy encompasses us and fills us, it allows this activity to occur. It allows us to develop the neuroplasticity of the brain. It allows our brains to continue to grow and develop as we age and not go into a cognitive decline such as with Alzheimer's disease. But we have to be willing and proactive in what we do with this. In addition, these meta-analyses also proved that prayer consistently affected the morphology in six brain areas. This is what it does. Because remember, our brain is basically neurotransmitting into God's dimension. Here are the six brain functions that it does. It says the functions which function in attention and regulates the emotions, the function that is active in sensory awareness, the function for cognition or thinking, reasoning and decision-making, and executive control, and the part of the brain that teaches us and allows us to learn and to be motivated. All of this is directly affected through prayer because, again, we're linking up with God in His dimension when we do that through scalar waves. It also says that the prefrontal cortex of the brain, region known for functions in assessment of rewards, self-control, and sense of agency, has been shown to be dysregulated in mood disorders. Now, what that means is this. It's saying that when we're depressed and we're upset about stuff, that we lose our sense of control and the reward system. This is why so many folks who get upset they start gorging themselves for dopamine triggers to get food in their system. They start gorging themselves on chocolate, on sugar, on everything that they're called comfort foods because they want that dopamine trigger. But what this article is saying is that if you pray and you have the right nutrition and the right lifestyle, that your brain will continue to grow and you won't need all of these other triggers. It also says, to manage the mindset and to mitigate stress, mindfulness-based stress reduction or other techniques can be employed. This is the affirmations. This is quoting a scripture. That's what an affirmation is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It also talks about cognitive reframing. Here's an example of cognitive reframing. You say, wow, I don't like the way that picture looks on the wall because that frame's not straight. I'm going to go straighten that frame out and hang that picture right, okay? Now, let me explain to you what that means, cognitive reframing. If you get into a situation where you say, I went through a really bad divorce, and I'm still mad about that, and I can't believe that my life got affected by all that, but, you know, I'm married now, and I'm happily married, and I got kids. Why don't you say it this way? If I had not gone through that divorce, I could never have appreciated my current wife. I would never have my current kids, and I wouldn't be walking in the blessings of Yahweh right now. Whoa! Did you just hear what I said? That was more than anything I've said so far. That's called reframing. You've got to see it from God's perspective. He says it this way. All things work together for those who love God and are called according to His purpose when they're prayed up, is what the Word says. So you've got to realize something, guys. Like for me personally, here's the perfect example. I went through a divorce back in Tallahassee over 30 years ago, 33, 34 years ago. I'm not going to go into detail why that happened. But had I not been in Tallahassee when I got divorced, I never would have met Sharon, my current wife, Austin's mom, mother of my four children. I never would have met her. I would have had this incredibly wonderful time with her for the past 34 years. I wouldn't have had that. So when I look back on my first experience being married, my response is always this. Wow, I don't like what I went through, but if I had to go through that, to get to where I am now, it was oh so worth it. Guys, that's the way you've got to look at it. You can't be constantly picking things apart. Because remember, our tapestry, our life of our, the tapestry of our life is all these different interconnecting threads that God orchestrates in many cases. Now, he's not there to get you divorced and all that kind of stuff. He's got a plan A. If you mess up with plan A, you'll do plan B. You mess up plan B, you'll do plan C, plan D. He'll keep making more plans for you as long as you're being led by his Holy Spirit. The truth of the matter is, though, you've got to look at the tapestry of your life and what you became. I was a really good husband my first time I got married. I really was. But I wasn't as good as I was the second time I got married because I learned a lot in the first time. And so because of that, I allowed myself to become that better person with my wife. And see, that's the thing we've got to understand. We can't start saying, I can't believe that happened to me. I'm still angry about it. I'm not angry about it. Whatever. It's over 30 years ago. And I've told you guys about my brother. My brother in Iowa. My oldest brother, he's like in his 80s now. He basically, and he's not listening to the show, I guarantee you. That's why I'm doing this. He's super unbelievably negative. My father ended up getting divorced from his mother back in 1950. Married my mom in 52 from Germany. They came back over to the United States. They settled down here in Central Florida. My brother was still up in Iowa with his brother and his sister, my other half-brother and sister. And he's still angry about that. From 67 years ago, he's still mad, and the only thing he wants to talk about all of the time is how bad his dad was. And finally, I asked him one time, and no, he actually asked me, he goes, do you know why my dad divorced my mother? I said, yeah. So I told him, he goes, oh, well, dad never told me that. I said, why didn't you ask dad? You know, he had a reason for that, what he did. I said, but you never gave him a chance to tell you what the reason was, but now you're angry now for 67 years. It's all kinds of health problems, had back surgery, cardiovascular surgery, all kinds of stuff is wrong with this guy. And he's got a super negative personality. Why? And the crazy thing is, my dad had a big farm in Iowa. My oldest brother got the big farm, made him a multimillionaire. I didn't get all that from my dad. Now, my dad paid my way through college, helped me get started in business. I'm eternally grateful for that. But I'm not upset about the fact that my older brother got the farm. That makes a difference to me. Why would I care about that? I'm happy for him. But he's so negative and has affected his entire life because of this attitude. Now, I give you a personal example like that because I want you guys to know it's not about being negative about stuff. It's about rejoicing in all things and realizing that God can do all things for you, that He's there for you, that you're in covenant with God Almighty, with Yahweh Himself, the Creator of the universe, set up a blood covenant with you through Christ so that God's eternal love is completely shown in you, that Christ's blood continually redeems you. I mean, it's amazing what He did for us. Now, let me go back to this article again. Now, we know that all these functions of the brain are affected by stress. To manage this type of stress is saying that we can do affirmations, cognitive reframing, visualization. We've already talked about that. We can start how we can actually do good music, good quality music, not the junk stuff. And it says some other stuff that I don't agree with. It says, moreover, visualization techniques also alleviate subjective pain and depression in fibromyalgia. These are clinical studies now, and significantly reduce sedentary behavior while promoting engagement with physical activity in obese individuals. So what this just said is this. If you see yourself as not having pain, if you see yourself as having more mobility, and you believe that you're going to be like that, and we have so much more of that because of the relationship we have with God through Christ, if you see that, you literally create that reality also because of what you think. The anti-inflammatory effect of prayer and these other types of techniques are operationalized via stimulation of the vagal nerve, the primary parasympathetic nerve. Now, it's not going back into the quantum physics of it. In other words, it says, mindfulness promotes parasympathetic vagal tone, which modulates the immune response to inhibit the pathogenic inflammatory cascade behind everything from cardiovascular disease to autoimmunity and to mood disorders, including depression. That's what it's saying, that all of this can be regulated properly because of prayer and how you think and how you act. This is consistent with the findings that the mind-body interventions are relayed via the downregulation of stress, mainly through the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, known for its role in stress control. Now, that's the scientific version of what I'm telling you from what the medical people see. They're saying that this whole thing's the same thing. Now she goes on to talk about spirituality. And she goes, well, spirituality has also been revealed to be cardioprotective, as it is correlated with significantly lower levels of systolic and blood pressure and sensitivity to C-reactive proteins, better fasting glucose, and triglycerides. In essence, stress management techniques such as prayer are unique in their ability to induce relaxation and downregulate pro-inflammatory molecular cascades. In other words, it stabilizes your body chemistry and keeps you healthier. Then she says, thoughts matter, you have a choice. Yes, that's the whole point. Thoughts create the fabric of space-time. You have a choice. Then she goes, finally, she says in closing, she goes, lastly, start viewing yourself as the arbitrator of your own fate. She's absolutely right about it, because remember, you're in covenant with God and the captain of your own destiny. Remember, God is the captain of our destiny, not this person who's writing this letter. But what she's saying is that realize that we have a higher power who's there for our best interest. And here's what she says. The externality, I love the way she said this. I'll explain it. Externality of locus control or attribution of one's circumstances to external forces such as chance, fate, or luck of the draw is associated with higher rates of depression. In other words, when you believe that everything bad happens to you because you're just not lucky, or you have to have a rabbit's foot to be lucky, or you have to have something else to be lucky, and everything bad happening to you, and that you're adrift in this big sea of the cosmos, hoping that something bad doesn't happen to you, she goes, you get depressed. Well, yeah, I'd get depressed if I thought like that too. No, God is regulating us. God is directing us. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, is what the Word says. In contrast, people with an internal locus of control or the orientation that comes in their lives are contingent upon their own actions and efforts, and I'm going to add to the actions of God in prayer, tend to be more resilient in the face of adversity. There also exists an inverse relationship between the internal alley of focus, control, and depression, which means when we believe that God's in control and that prayer changes things, we have a tendency not to be depressed. We have a tendency to love our life the way we have it now. We have a tendency to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the Bible says, act as if you've already received it, and it shall be given unto you. Guys, I wanted to go into detail. I haven't taught on this before, and I really want to give you guys some insight on the stuff that I've learned over the past 40 years, just so you have an idea of why every time Austin asks me how I'm doing, I say, Austin, I'm doing absolutely great today. It doesn't matter if you're soaking me down with chemtrails. It doesn't matter if I break a foot. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. None of that stuff's going to be reflective on what I say, because I realize I control my future. I control my destiny. I control the course of my life through the Holy Spirit, through Yahweh, through Yeshua. And that if we do all things through Christ who strengthens us, God's there for us, and He's always going to lift us up. Guys, that was my opening statement, Austin.
Well, that was an excellent opening statement, man. That was awesome. Wow.
All right.
Well, I got a couple. Anything you want to add on that?
No, I'm good. But just, that was all I need to say.
Good. That was awesome. Well, yeah, a couple things I want to start off with today on here. I talked about this a while back ago. This is a health related thing. The CRISPR gene editing that's now being done with food and animals and all types of different compounds. Of course, we know it's not the same as GMO, but now they're using this as another way to start manipulating food and other aspects of our lives. Now, a new study has just been released out of Columbia University Medical Center where researchers are warning scientists now that the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology resulted in unintended mutations that are going undetected. The new technology, whereas there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to gene editing, has now been shown as the new study published in the journal Nature Methods shows it can cause unintended mutations in genomes. The Columbia University Medical Center, Stephen Tsang, who co-authored the study, urged the scientific community to consider the very possible hazards of off-target mutations. In the study, his team sequenced mice genomes that had previously been subjected to CRISPR technology in order to cure blindness. They found 1,500 single nucleotide mutations and more than 100 bigger deletions and insertions when they examined the genomes of two of the subjects in depth. The scientists are pressing for a more accurate way to check for mutations, insertions, and deletions in genomes, such as whole genome sequencing, rather than depending on computer algorithms alone. The computer algorithms did not detect any of the mutations that were discovered in the study, which is startling. The technology has gotten super popular in China already, where the government and corporations are putting huge investments in gene editing. In fact, Chinese scientists say they were the first to make a type of wheat that is resistant to fungal disease. They also claim to have created more muscular dogs and leaner pigs. What they often fail to mention, however, is the fact that 30 of the 32 pigs they subjected to the gene editing technique died prematurely, showing that even the simplest of genetic tweaks can have a huge impact on animals, food, and humans alike. So this is another thing that we've talked about where they're trying to manipulate what's going on with us. They're trying to change the genes. They're trying to change everything about us, whether it's through the GMO foods that we're eating to now these gene editing techniques. All this stuff is starting to escalate, Dad, and this obviously goes to show you what they've been trying to play off now for the last couple of years that I've read about this, is that this Cas9 gene editing is supposedly 100% safe, has no side effects, the same thing we heard about with GMOs when they first came out of them, but now they're starting to show that there's a lot of side effects and that all types of mutations can occur with this stuff.
Okay. What this thing has turned into down here is this giant Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, fallen angel research planet. You think, really? Yeah, pretty much. They did the same thing already. They've already come in and just done all this gene editing, splicing, combining us with who knows what in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 6. Always unintended consequences. So finally God had genug of it, which means enough in German, and said, I'm done. We're not letting you guys do this to my children anymore. These guys are sickos. Everything they want to do is just destroy God's creation. This is what they're all about. They're like a bunch of mad scientists that like to run around experimenting on us. Remember, I read to you just a few months ago about the one book that talked about how when they find some of these fallen spaceships, these ships come down, some of them were filled with human body parts. I mean, these things are sick. These demons, these fallen things, whatever you want to call them, fallen angels, extraterrestrials, I don't care. Pick a name. It doesn't make a difference. They're all the same. And all they want to do is experiment on God's kids. You know, they're so hacked off that we have a soul, that we are created in the image of Yahweh, that they're in this perpetual war with us, with humanity, because they're angry. They're just mad. And that's why God had enough of it all, sent his son, Jesus Christ, his only son, who was conceived in God's exact image according to the book of Hebrews, and basically delivered us from this. Because without this stuff, we're just in this big petri dish down here getting screwed around with. And so the sad part about, to me, Austin, is this. The world leaders know what they're doing with CERN. The world leaders know what they're doing with the GMOs. The world leaders are probably involved, and most of them, in the satanic sacrifices and the blood-drinking ceremonies and all the crazy Babylonian things they do now. Because this is what these fallen things want them to do, and they're okay with it. Because a lot of these world leaders are still part of those satanic bloodlines that want to do this to us. So guys, again, we're not of this world. Period. That's what the word says. We're not here. We're just kind of passing through. It's like on that one movie Vin Diesel did. I forgot what the name of that movie was. He was in that prison complex, some crematoria, I think it was called. And he goes, they ask him, are you an inmate or are you a convict? And he goes, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. Guys, that's what we are here. We're just passing through. And when we get to leave here, we got to go be with Yahweh for all eternity. And all of these guys like Katy Perry, it's not going to go well for them. They're going to get the reward while they're on this planet, and then it's going to get really, really bad for them when they get out of here. So guys, it's exactly what Austin says. This is a giant research program in the human genome to do everything they possibly can to terraform the planet, to change us, to make us more like a creature that would be more adaptable to these guys, and a creature that'll be more adaptable to brain implants with transhumanism. That's what all of this is about, to tie us into the AI, to give Lucifer in his dimension full dominion over us and know our very thoughts and our very deeds and our very actions and to control us. That's what they're doing. That's why they're doing the gene editing. But now they're realizing how complex this genome is because, you know, God is the only person who can create life. They can take the life that God created and they can adulterate it. They can mess with it. They can mess cross genes over, which, by the way, the Bible forbids. But in the book of Enoch, it says these fallen angels taught them how to do this. Good story, Austin. What's your next one?
Well, first I want to touch base on a lot of these interesting attacks that are happening all over the place. And we had another one in Orlando, looks like, this morning. I'll get to that one in a second. The first off, the thing I wanted to address with the London Bridge and everything that's happened over the weekend with that, the biggest thing everybody has to understand, this is why we cannot allow ourselves to be disarmed in any way, shape, or form, even any further than we already are, because we've been significantly disarmed and hampered in our gun rights over the last 20 to 30 years. What has happened now in the UK is these attacks are going to keep happening over and over and over again until essentially the population begs for full dictatorial martial law to control and protect them. The individuals that were in this van that ran everybody over, then stopped at a restaurant and started slashing everybody's throats and stabbing them. The people there were helpless, except far as throwing glasses and chairs and at them, trying to fight them off, you know, that way. All that was needed was one single legal concealed carry individual to be carrying his legal firearm to be able to completely neutralize the threat on site. The problem is UK has completely lost all of their firearm rights. This is something we cannot allow to have happen in this country. Once you allow the government to fully disarm the population, you're at the mercy of anything they want to let in, anything they want to let happen to you, anything that occurs to you, you're at the mercy of them. We do not need more gun control. We do not need more restrictions. We need people to start coming together and training with one another and being self-sufficient patriots in order to protect one another. If the government wants to go spend $3 billion, I'm glad we backed out of this, $3 billion on a slush fund climate change for the Paris deal that the mainstream media is like having this conniption fit over that Trump pulled out of this thing, why don't we spend that money and have federal funds to help teach people how to operate firearms safely? Why don't we start having state-sponsored gun classes? Why don't we start doing things to teach ourselves and our neighbors around us how to train, how to respond to some type of incident like that happened in the UK? That's the biggest thing. That is the easiest, single-handed, most effective thing we could possibly do to become a self-sufficient, strong nation. When you start taking the rights of the people to be able to defend themselves, they are completely, completely at the will of whoever wants to harm them when they have a larger show of force. A lot of people don't like it when I say this, but sometimes the only answer to violence is more violence. I'm not projecting that and saying people need to go out and be violent, but what I'm saying is when an individual runs into a restaurant with a butcher knife and starts to stab somebody, the only way you're going to stop that person is exactly how the police stopped him when they got there. They shot him to death. Nobody walked up and said, listen, listen, Mr. Muslim, I don't agree with this behavior. This is not acceptable behavior to me. Please put the knife down and we'll talk about this. Somebody may have tried to do that. Obviously didn't work. So when you start having somebody that comes at you with a deadly weapon, in most cases, not all of them, but in most cases, you need at least equal or greater deadly force to neutralize the threat. For some reason, the people of this country, and a lot of them in Europe, don't understand that concept, and they feel that if we're disarmed by the government, we'll be protected by the government. Everybody knows, if you've ever been in an incident, you've had law enforcement and called. Majority of the time, law enforcement shows up at the end of the incident. They take the report and they figure out what's going on. Sometimes they show up when it's happening. Sometimes they show up at the beginning of it. But in most cases, they show up at the very end of it. That's just how it works. The people on the scene in the incident need to be able to be the ones that can defend themselves against crazy people like that. Also, what happened in Orlando. I don't know the whole story behind Orlando. They're saying this guy shot and killed five people. He was a disgruntled so-called former employee. Then he turned around and shot himself, a 45-year-old. They're saying now he was a honorably discharged military veteran, of course. I don't know if this is a whole false flag or something else set up, but what's wild to me is how this has already gotten full-blown media news coverage all over the country. Now, what everybody has to look at here is the narrative that they're trying to project onto everybody. We had the Manchester incident over there. We had the whole London Bridge thing that happened. We have this incident in Orlando now, all getting national, actually global attention on most of it. There's always, every time this happens, there's always an agenda behind it, whether it's obfuscation of the real truth that's going on or them trying to project fear into everybody's hearts. What nobody wants to bring up, and see, this is the thing, if five people getting shot in Orlando was needed for global attention because this was such a huge deal, people need to know about it, why hasn't anybody talked about the 16 homicides in Chicago that happened over the last 6 days? 6 days. Or the 83 individuals who were shot and wounded in Chicago over the last 6 days. Nobody's talked about that. Why? Because it doesn't fit the globalist narrative of terrorists with a firearm that they can use to instill fear in everybody. Everybody knows Chicago's turned into a war zone. So talking about it doesn't get anybody's attention when they can bring it up on another level and say, oh, a madman with a gun came into a building and shot everybody. We need to talk about gun control again. And every single article I've read today about this Orlando shooting, every single article, at the very end of the article, they bring up the Pulse shooting, because the Pulse shooting was a year ago. 1 week from now is a year ago. Every single one. I pulled the one up on CNN. If you want to hear fear-mongering, this is it. At the end of this, supposedly a disgruntled employee shoots five individuals. Horrific incident. Not good at all. This is what they put at the end of the incident, just to make sure that everybody gets scared about it. Almost a year ago, Orlando was the site of the nation's worst terror attack since 9/11. On June 12, 2016, a gunman killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub. Over the past year, the Orlando community has been challenged like never before. A disgruntled employee going into a business and shooting five people is definitely a horrible act. Trying to compare it to a complete and total false flag like Pulse just shows me that they're trying to tie the two together to spark fear in everybody's hearts. Everybody has to keep their eyes open to what's really going on right now. Do not get distracted by this disinformation and this propaganda they're trying to show you. If it's real, if it's not real, I'm not 100% sure on both ends. But every single time we see incidences happen like this, another terrorist attack, another little shooting, another terrorist attack, another this, another bombing, back to back to back. There's always multiple agendas behind it. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. I want to make sure everybody understands what's going on, the truth of what's behind the narrative, and always understand there's much, much more than meets the eye, Dad.
Okay, excellent. Two things I want to say about this. Number one, you're saying we could use $3 billion in order to train the people in the United States on how to use weapons. Switzerland does that. Every person in Switzerland who's a man of basically military age is required to go in and shoot a fully automatic weapon every year and take training with it. And they're also required to keep that weapon in their home, period. That's just how they maintain their borders and they don't have all these terrorist acts all the time. Number two, you're saying how the British people have been completely disarmed. The Brits learned very quickly with the rebellious colonies, that would be us, that basically when you allowed the rebellious colonies to be armed, that if they got really upset, they could go after you. Now, remember what happened with the French and Indian War, because the French and Indian War took place, you know, some 20 years earlier from the Revolutionary War. All of these colonists, many of these colonists were hardened battle people who had been in these wars already and they had already seen some horrible stuff. If you watch the movie The Patriot, it talks about that. And also, if you watch the movie, one that's a theme song of our show, it talks about that. You know, and so, Last of the Mohicans. And so what we have to understand is this, guys, you know, Britain learned a lot from the colonies, and one of the things they learned was you don't let the doggone people have any guns, because the Queen doesn't like it when you say no. If the Queen wants to take you out back and hang you without a trial, pretty much they take you out back and they hang you without a trial, because she's the Queen or the King, whatever, the tyrant or the monarch, whatever you want to call them, same thing. And so what happens is this, we need to realize that Austin's 100% right. We've got to keep our mind clear and frosty, because we talked about affirmations a few minutes ago. Prayer is good in a situation where people are running with the knives and all, et cetera, et cetera. I have no problem praying about that. But the reality is, you know, if you got a gun, you might need to use it. I remember years ago I talked to a missionary who was kind of interesting. He went to really horrible parts of the world. And I'll never forget, when you open this Bible up in the Old Testament, which he never preached out of, he always preached out of the New Testament, there was a silhouette of a gun he carried with him on the mission field. I kid you not, Austin, he had cut out his Bible and kept a concealed .38 small snub nose inside of the Bible of the King James Version. And he goes, and we asked him one time, we were joking with him, why in the world are you carrying that gun? He says, well, you know, these heathen, they don't know much about God, and sometimes they want to kill you. and so sometimes you can't let them kill you. You see, and this is the point I'm trying to make. You say, well, that seems like that's different than what you were talking about earlier. No. What we have to understand is we live in a civilized society. It's called the United States of America. It's civilized. They're trying to make it uncivilized by bringing in third world scoundrels and criminals to undermine us, to bring in a new world order, to bring us back into feudalism. That's what this is all about. They want to take us back into feudalism where we have no rights. They don't like our pesky constitution. It bothers them, and they need to get rid of that because it allows us to have legal means to go after what they do in many cases, not all the time anymore. Some of the legal means have been completely shut down now by these corrupt judges. We see that with Trump's trying to ban this immigration thing that's going on right now. But really good article, Austin. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, I'm glad we got to touch base on that. Also, too, speaking of more health issues that I talked about earlier, this article just came in, obviously got zero mainstream attention at all. 15 young children over in South Sudan died directly from a botched measles vaccine campaign that saw kids as young as 12 years old administering the vaccinations. The United Nations said the children died of severe toxicity from the contaminated vaccine. The government said all the children who died were under the age of 5. It is now setting up a commission to determine whether it is responsible and whether victims' families will be compensated. What Bill Gates and a lot of these sicko globalists have done, and we've seen this now over the years, is they've used Africa, unfortunately, as basically a petri dish to test out all these different non-human approved vaccinations and all types of other weird stuff they concoct in these laboratories. That way they can see how bad the die-off is, how toxic it is, and if it's acceptable to put on the American population yet. And that's exactly what they do over here. But you didn't hear anything about this in the mainstream media, that 15 kids died from a measles vaccine. Of course you're not going to hear that from the mainstream media in the United States, because they want to keep telling everybody, you need to get your measles vaccine or else you're doing a disservice to the population. Or in France and or Italy and Germany, we're going to fine you thousands of euros if we don't inject your child with measles and every other vaccination that we require now. That's exactly what's going on with this, but yet you don't hear anything about this on the mainstream media. It just happened last week, Deb.
Well, they don't want you to know that. You know, they're blaming it on contaminated needles and all kinds of other stuff. But guys, the truth of the matter is this. You know, we don't know what they're injecting us when they give us a vaccine. We have no idea. You if you believe the label, okay. What's in the label? Okay, let me read the answer, okay? You don't know what's in it. You could have a live virus in it. You don't know. That's what happened with that Baxter Lab nonsense that happened years ago in Romania with that chicken flu. They actually shipped live virus that would have killed the people who took the injections. I mean, you don't know what they're putting in you. You're walking by faith and not by sight. And in a bad way, not in a good way, because Yahweh's not orchestrating this. When you're involved with these guys believing that they're going to inject something good or something healthy into you, and you have absolutely no idea what they're doing. By the way, Monsanto's sealed documents have revealed multiple cancers that are being basically brought on by the administration of glyphosate. This is, in fact, from the 70s and the 80s, and Anthony Samsel, he's an independent researcher, he had to go through his senator to get the release of 15,000 pages worth of Monsanto's complete glyphosate research with his co-author Stephanie Seth from MIT to find out what in the heck they were doing, and they had to go through the Freedom of Information Act. Here's what Monsanto's own research showed. Cancer of the pituitary gland, glial tumors of the brain, which is like the worst kind, they're almost always fatal, cell carcinomas of the heart, sarcomas of the heart, malignant tumors in the lungs, metastatic sarcomas of the lymph glands, prostate carcinoma, cancer of the bladder, thyroid cancer, and basal cell squamous cell tumors. In female mammals, there were the cancers of the lung, liver, thymus, bladder, adrenal glands, ovaries, colon, uterus, parathyroid, and mammary glands. I mean, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. This is an article you can look up online. Monsanto's sealed documents revealed the truth behind Roundup's toxicological dangers, Richard Gale and Gary Null. Guys, this is what I covered in detail on Hagman's show on Friday night, and also for a short period last night on Dave Hodges' show we talked about this, because guys, you need to be aware of this stuff. We're not making any of this stuff up. Now, the one thing I did warn you about on Friday, apparently the Melania Trump banning Monsanto from the White House apparently was fake news. And I told you guys when I said it, I don't know if this is real or not, but it sure sounds good, because I could not get it vetted. I had a bunch of different sources saying the same thing, but then I said they could have been quoting the same source. But apparently that didn't happen, because I was wondering how in the world they would ever allow the First Lady to do that when the Sabbatean Kabbalists are controlling the Congress and the media, and there's no way I heard any of this on the mainstream media, Austin. But it would have been nice had Melania actually said no Monsanto in the White House. And even if she did say that, they would now be in full-blown denial saying she didn't say it, just like they did with the Roswell crash. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I thought it may have been too good to be true. Definitely hopeful of it, though, because it would have been awesome. Also, too, one other article that I wanted to touch base on today, everybody heard about. Recent arrest of Tiger Woods for driving under the influence of prescription drugs. Initial reports were indicating that Woods had been driving under the influence of alcohol. It was later confirmed that his breathalyzer was 0.0 and his erratic behavior was actually caused by a cocktail of drugs prescribed after knee, Achilles tendon, and recent back surgery. And this is something that I wanted to address, because a lot of times people don't talk about this very much, and a lot of times people don't realize how strong a lot of this medication is, not even just opiates, other medications you can get for stuff. Market Watch reported that the number of vehicle accidents where drugged drivers were involved has nearly doubled between 2005 and 2015. Over 20% of the 32,000 fatal accidents in the United States last year involved at least one drugged driver. In some states, driving under the influence of prescription pills is even more common than driving drunk. This is because the pharmaceutical company makes money off of them. They don't care. They're not worried about telling you if you're going to go to jail for driving under the influence of one of these prescription drugs. It just increases the revenue to the prison industrial complex when they allow this stuff to happen. But also, too, be very aware of this, guys, because a lot of these drugs have significant side effects. And secondly, there's always, in my opinion, a natural route you can try first. That's why we always recommend try the natural approach first. See 60, 90 days. If you can get something rolling with supplements, with diet, with nutrition, with, you know, exercise, and see what you can get out of it before going to this prescription drug route, because a lot of this stuff is not good in the long run. It can have a lot of side effects. Now, whether or not Tiger Woods knew these drugs were going to cause all this stuff, I don't know. But now he's got a DUI in his record he's got to deal with, and he wasn't even drinking. He was just straight taking pharmaceutical drugs. So that's really something to be aware of if you are taking this stuff, guys.
You know, I was telling this to your grandmother yesterday. You know, Tiger Woods is not a Christian. I mean, everybody knows that. His language is absolutely horrific. And,
yeah,
you know, he had literally done more than most people ever dreamed of doing with golf, with income, with everything else. And look at what a mess his life's turned out because he didn't have a relationship with Yeshua and with Yahweh. You got to understand this, guys. It doesn't matter what type of outward success you have. If it's not being led by the Holy Spirit, you don't have the righteousness, peace, and joy on the inside. Guys, you're never going to be happy regardless of how much money you have. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I put a lot of time into this one. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being part of our team. I just appreciate you so much. God bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And also go ahead and wrap her up. I'll write the summary.
Got it, bud. Absolutely. We appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for buying your multiples from us. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the emails you send in. Like I said, we get a lot of questions every day, but we also get a lot of you guys thanking us and just send us, you know, hey, this is what's been going on. I've been taking this, and this has happened better. Or my family's been doing this, and it's working better. We appreciate all that, guys, because it always lets us know, you know, the feedback we're getting from a lot of the positive aspects when we're helping people out with this stuff. Also, too, you can check out the website. We put a kit together on Friday. If you guys didn't see it yet, it was the Alpha Male Stack. Dad and I wanted to kind of put something together as far as a basic, affordable stack. It can really help out with energy and testosterone in males and just really help out with overall health. And that's a very good basic stack we put together on there. Also, too, the product of the week, the chelation therapy, will still be on sale till tomorrow night for over 10% off. That's a good one I've talked about before. And, of course, all the other products that are being voted on right now, go on the website and check them out, vote on them. Very, very close. AquaTrace is at 39 votes. Memory Supports is at 40. Probiotics is at 40 votes. Immune Supports at 36. Very, very close votes on this. So if you guys want to see one of these products, go on a big 10 or 15% discount. Go vote them on the website, guys. Check it out, healthmasters.com. You guys need anything, email us, call us. Have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.